So this is a very famous story. We probably all have heard it before. And what we usually remember is how God called Samuel. God calls Samuel, Samuel. And he does so a couple of times. This reminds me of a little story, the story of little Freddy. So little Freddy loves to go outside and play. So it is dinner time and he says, "Can I go outside and play?" And mom says, "Freddy, dinner is going to be ready soon." But Freddy begs, and so mom says, "Okay, go outside, but when I call you, you need to come in." So he goes outside, mom finishes dinner, she goes outside, calls him, "Freddy, Freddy," nothing. So she calls again, "Freddy, Freddy," but still no sign of Freddy. So mom goes ahead and calls a third time, "Freddy, Freddy," and there comes Freddy around the corner. And mom says, "Why didn't you come when I called you?" And little Freddy says, "But I couldn't hear you till the third time you called." The calling is what we remember. However, one of the main parts of this story is at the very beginning in chapter 1, when it says, "The word of the Lord is rare, and visions have become uncommon in Israel." Now, this makes me wonder if the word is rare because God isn't calling, or if the word is rare because we are not listening. It makes me think of our times right now, a time where it doesn't seem like God is speaking, a time where many of us are so busy that we are not able to listen and see if God is calling us. A time where so much is going on that we are not able to pay attention when God is speaking. Even though the word of God was rare, God speaks to Samuel. Both Samuel and Eli, they are lying down. They are still, they're receptive. Neither one of them is talking. In the still silence, Samuel hears a voice calling his name. If Samuel were busy or distracted by other conversations, he might have missed it entirely. Listening is a key spiritual practice that opens us space for us to hear God's voice, to listen actively, to give someone your full, undivided attention. Although in those times the word of God was rare, young Samuel was able to hear God's call. At first he thought it was Eli calling him. Who else could it have been? Samuel was a child living at the temple to serve under Eli, who was the priest. So probably nobody else was there. It only could have been Eli calling. Samuel hears the Lord, and following Eli's guidance, he says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel listens then, and will do so again and again, so that the word of God can be spoken and heard. He is the one who will become the channel of the Lord's word in Israel. He will become a prophet that can speak for God. God's call often involves working to change human systems that are broken, and this can lead down to difficult paths. This is what Samuel had to do. But Samuel is faithful and follows those paths. It takes a child, someone not corrupted, someone dedicated to serving in the temple from early on, who is able to hear and listen. And this first listening will be just the beginning. Samuel's story begins in chapter 1. His mother, Hannah, could not get pregnant. One day she found herself in the temple praying to God and asking for a child, as she has done many times. Eli, who was in the temple, heard her and thought that she was drunk. But then he told her that her prayers will be answered. Hannah has her long-awaited child, and then she does as she promised and gives the child to the Lord. So the boy Samuel remains with Eli at the holy place in Shiloh, and this is how Samuel comes to be with Eli. Samuel was a child dedicated to God. Eli, on the other hand, had his own sons, but they were wicked and had no regard for the Lord. This we find in Samuel chapter 2, just before what we read today. And also in chapter 2, you can read about their behavior and also about Eli's rebuke. He scolds them for their actions. And because of their wickedness, in Samuel chapter 2, there is a prophecy against the house of Eli. So when we read about God's prophecy against the house of Eli, it is not the first time this is mentioned in this book, and we are just 3 chapters in. Hannah's son and Eli's sons are totally opposite. Samuel is an outsider, while Eli's sons are from the priestly line, and it is their birthright to serve in the temple. Yet, what do? They have not acted justly and have used their position for their own gain, instead of serving the Lord. Throughout the Bible, God does not always choose the expected ones. He chose Jacob, he chose Joseph, he chose Moses and David. All were unlikely choices. Jesus also, he calls fishermen, he calls laborers to serve as his disciples, instead of the priests and the prophets of Jerusalem. All, even outsiders, can and are given tasks in God's kingdom. At this point, I want to remind us of a couple of things. Remember that the Bible is a theological book. These stories occurred around 1,000 years before Christ. It is the millennial midpoint between the call of Abraham and the birth of Jesus. These stories were written down more than 500 years later. Till then, the stories were just passed down by word of mouth. Only once the second Exodus happened, and the Israelites found themselves captive in Babylon, they started to write down those stories. And they embedded them into a theological understanding. God chose Abraham, and for him came God's people. A story with many ups and downs throughout the Old Testament. A story where God gives his people a chance over and over. But there comes a time where for God's story to survive, he needs to get rid of some bad actors. So over 400 years of excesses with the judges, Israel needs to find a new way in order to survive. To compete with the surrounding tribes, they need a king. And it is Samuel who ushers in this new era and anoints first King Saul and then King David. Last week, we heard about manna from heaven in the wilderness, while the Israelites were wandering through the desert for 40 years. That was the time when Moses got the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. Finally, after Moses' death, Joshua leads them into the promised land. They settle, and if conflict arises, this is taken care of by the judges. Tribal wars threaten to tear the people apart. The promised land is not easy and without conflict. So these times of Samuel were dark times. Dark as the night that falls at the beginning of the story. Eli's eyesight is growing dim. He cannot see. Darkness seems to surround everything. The eyes of Eli are waning, as well as his priestly role. But the lamp of God has not yet gone out, says verse 3. There was still light. Priestly protocol called that the burning of the lamps in the sanctuary, they had to burn from evening till morning. So the Ark of the Covenant containing the precious tablets with the Ten Commandments were at the temple and the light had to burn all night. So Samuel is called by God in a time of spiritual desolation, of religious corruption, political danger, and social upheaval. The word of the Lord is rare. The sons of Eli are corrupt, and Philistines are about to threaten Israel's survival. Samuel is called to deliver a harsh message of judgment that is necessary if there is to be hope, a hopeful new beginning for Israel in this trying time. While Samuel's call came ages ago, the truth is that God still calls. God equips all of us with gifts, with interests and talents to be used to bless one another. Whether at home or in the community, at the workplace or at church, everyone has a job to do. No matter what desires, dreams, and visions we have, they all come from God. The question is, what will we do with those desires, those dreams, those visions? What will we do with those gifts, interests, and talents that God has given us? Will we make excuses, do nothing about them, and then complain that our lives are unfulfilled? Or will we use what God has given us to bless others and ourselves? Answering God's call leads to living one's best life, to a life that fulfills Jesus' summary of great commandments to love God, others, and oneself. The question is, what will you do? What will I do? What will we do individually and collectively to answer God's call in our lives? Amen.